Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, Sam Monson's going to join us, lead analyst for Pro Football Focus. We'll get his early look ahead at the NFL training camp that'll open up in a couple of weeks. Yes, we are hurtling towards NFL training camp season, and this is our first look ahead at NFL training camp. Sam Monson, lead analyst, Pro Football Focus, will help us out here with that coming up in about 40 minutes from now. Also this hour, college basketball may have its sneaker scandal, but fencing in the NCAA has an even larger one. The corruption behind collegiate fencing. Coming up here on the DA Show in just 17 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Next hour, we'll have a live report from the U.S. Women's National Team Parade, the Canyon of Heroes in New York City. We'll do that with Peter Haskell, 880 WCBS News Radio, coming up here in hour number three, live from the parade route. As always, you can hit me up on the phones as we talk about the NBA's free agency period as Adam Silver discussed some changes he would like to make. Last night's Major League Baseball All-Star Game once again won by the American League. So much for juice balls last night, huh? Ton of strikeouts. And people saying, well, see, the ball being juiced is overblown. Yeah, but that's not the point. One game is just one sample size, a very small sample size. This is going to be a season where we shatter the all-time record of home runs hit in a season. Shatter it. I think the previous record we said yesterday was 6,100 home runs in the season, which happened just 2 years ago. This year, they're on pace for 6,700 home runs. That's not just nipping over the line. That is obliterating the old line. So there's definitely something up with the baseballs. And even if last night there was not a ton of offense, a ton of strikeouts just once again kind of underscores that baseball is better when there's less true outcomes. If there's only the home run, the walk, and the strikeout, it doesn't allow for really exciting rallies and RBI doubles into the gap and doubles down the line and stringing together a bunch of hits, and baseball needs more of that. That, to me, is the essence of the game. That, to me, is one of the most exciting parts about the game. And a slew of strikeouts last night is not a good referendum on the state of offense, if you will, or the state of the gameplay in baseball. But overall, it was, a successful couple of days in Cleveland. The most successful part of the weekend was the fan experience of the city. Cleveland absolutely crushed it. I mean, the fans were on their feet. They made it just sing during the home run derby. Last night during the All-Star game, Shane Bieber getting a standing ovation, the crowd sounding like it was a playoff game. That was as good an All-Star crowd as you will ever hear. So big ups to Cleveland. Big ups to Northeast Ohio. You guys showed up and showed out for the Midsummer Classic. That was great. Yesterday, Adam Silver, though, took the podium after a governor's meeting, a state of the league meeting, and admitted there's some work to be done. And one of the things that they need to work on is this really bizarre scenario where free agency begins this year on June the 30th at 6 a.m., 6 p.m., whatever timestamp they want to do. And all of the signings happened in like the first 10 minutes, which suggests that obviously there's tampering, because if you're only allowed to start negotiating with players upon the start of free agency, how could all of these players be signing within the first 60 minutes of free agency? Don't you need a little bit of time to work things out? Here's the NBA commissioner. Last night during the All-Star game, Shane Bieber getting a standing ovation, the crowd sounding like it was a playoff game. That was as good an All-Star crowd as you will ever hear. So big ups to Cleveland. Big ups to Northeast Ohio. You guys showed up and showed out for the Midsummer Classic. That was great. Yesterday, Adam Silver, though, took the podium after a governor's meeting, a State of the League meeting, and admitted there's some work to be done. And one of the things that they need to work on is this really bizarre scenario where free agency begins this year on June the 30th at 6 a.m., 6 p.m., whatever timestamp they want to do, and all of the signings happen in like the first 10 minutes, which suggests that obviously there's tampering, because if you're only allowed to start negotiating with players upon the start of free agency, how could all of these players be signing within the first 60 minutes of free agency? Don't you need a little bit of time to work things out? Here's the NBA commissioner.
I'd say number one, some of the rules we have in place may not make sense. I think that's what we discussed. I think it's pointless at the end of the day to have rules that we can't enforce. I think it hurts the perception of integrity around the league if people say, well, you have that rule. So, and it's obvious that teams aren't fully complying, so why do you have it? And I think this, the sense of the room was we should revisit those rules, think about what does make sense for our teams so that ultimately we can create a level playing field among the teams, and that the partner teams have confidence that when their competitors are adhering to the same set of rules they are. So, in essence, the marching orders to the league were, together with our labor relations committee, that we should spend the next several months thinking about both what is in our unilateral power to change and then potentially what it is we should be discussing with the players when we sit back down for bargaining.
Yeah, let's face it. The NBA's no tampering period is a full-on tampering period. Now, you can't control players from talking to players. You can't control players when they're hanging out, having drinks, hanging out, having dinner, on the red carpet somewhere, doing a promotional event together, hanging out with their agency. There's no way when players get together socially, you can prevent them from talking. There's no way you can prevent them from texting one another. There's no way you can prevent LeBron James from texting AD, yo, bro, we want you in LA. There's no way you can prevent them from calling one another. There's just no way. What, are you going to wiretap their phones? So players talking to players is going to have to always be allowed and legal. Executives of the NBA talking to players that are not members of their team, you can police that. But how much do you really need to police? I mean, to me, it's just about establishing clear set windows. Okay, and the clear set window is, let's say free agency begins July the 1st. For 1 week before free agency, allow NBA executives to talk to potential free agents. Allow that week window to be where negotiations, quote unquote, happen, even if they're happening during the season. Even if Sean Marks is reaching out to Kyrie Irving in February. Even if Jerry West is talking to Kawhi Leonard in March. Even if there's all this contact happening beforehand. You'd like that not to happen, but ultimately, I don't know if it even makes sense to have to go too hard on that. Since everybody's negotiating with everybody all of the time, just make sure the week window before free agency begins is a quote-unquote legal tampering period. The NFL did it. And once the NFL did it, all the worries about tampering went away. And it's almost just nominal. If everybody's going to do it, just make sure it's clear-cut for everybody, okay? So that 1 week before free agency, okay, you can talk to free agents. Everybody can. Open season now. But you can't sign anybody. No signings can happen up until, and no agreements can be announced up until the start of free agency. And there you go. The only thing I would change about that is calling it legal tampering. It's an oxymoron. Tampering is illegal by nature. So let's just not make it legal tampering. Call it a negotiation window. I don't understand why the NFL can't just change that. Negotiation week, negotiation window, feast week, call whatever you want. But legal tampering is a stupid name, but it makes dopes understand it. But it's an easy fix. As long as the NBA does that, then they're covering their you-know-what. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico, 855-212-4227. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Nathan's next up. He's in New Jersey listening on radio.com. Good morning, Nathan.
Hey, good morning, D.A. How you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. I'm just watching the parade right now. Great stuff. Congrats to the U.S. women's team for doing a great job in this World Cup. So I'm just watching the parade. But I want to get to this Katie and Sean Marks situation. I agree with you. I don't believe this. I don't believe what he said yesterday. But I guess he's trying to cover up whatever. I guess the tampering thing is that, because in my opinion, I think they had to have a meeting before he signed or after. I mean, and after too, obviously. But I think they had. To be honest, I think they should. They could have had a meeting before he signed or committed, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's obvious that why would Kevin Durant sign with a team and put all of his eggs in a basket? His career is now in the hands of the Brooklyn Nets without meeting with the guy that runs the Brooklyn Nets. That's totally insane. There's no way that happened. No way. And Sean Marks is smart enough to say the right things and to say they're playing by the rules. But you're telling me Kevin Durant comes off of one of the most devastating injuries any basketball player has ever had. In the NBA Finals, he ruptures an Achilles at the very peak of his powers as one of the best players of the NBA, if not the best player in the NBA. The best player in the NBA in the NBA Finals ruptures his Achilles. And he's not going to meet with the franchise he signs with? He's just going to take it on Kyrie Irving's word that they've got a good medical team? Of course he spoke to Sean Marks. Of course he spoke to the medical team. Even if he didn't, his agent did. So of course he has that information. So Sean Marks, he's saying the right things, but there's just no way KD went in there blind with everything that's on the line. His career is on the line. His health is on the line. Do you think if you had some type of heart surgery that needed to be done and you never knew if you were going to live the same way ever again, that you would just walk into any hospital? You had a choice of 30 hospitals. You would just walk into any hospital and be like, okay, you guys fix it. Or would you do a little bit of research there? Of course he did research. Of course he spoke to somebody. Of course there was a meeting. So that's what I'm talking about. Everybody in the NBA knows that happens. So the NBA just needs to allow a week period beforehand, 7 days before free agency, to then say, okay, this is when you guys can all meet, but nobody can sign. Seems like a pretty easy solution. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Awesome moment this morning from the Baltimore Orioles. They are a true champ, and we will tell you why, because they have hit it out of the park, as always, treating one of our favorite people in the world like a king. We'll talk about that coming up here next on the show. Also, is fencing the most corrupt NCAA sport? We've got a Reggie Bush situation coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
I was on honor roll. Like, I wasn't Harvard bound. I was community college bound.
And right. Then the accident happened.
Come on. That's not fair.
Bitten by a spider that had just eaten a Domino's pizza.
That's not right. That's not right.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh. Valid point.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Boy, there's so many different ways you can listen to the show. Pick one, any of them. Listen across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our terrestrial radio stations. Sirius XM, channel 206 on satellite radio, 206. Or using radio.com on your phone or any other computer device. Or iTunes, Apple Music, CBS Sports app. A lot of different ways you can listen to the show.
Electronically ignorant.
That's tough. You guys by now may have heard me talk about my friend Little Mo. Little Mo is a young man that was calling our show way back when. We would always ask him when we were on at night, Little Mo, don't you got to go to school in the morning? Little Mo, why are you still up with us? But Little Mo in Baltimore is an enormous Baltimore Orioles and Baltimore Ravens fan. And he would call us up regularly, and he knew the show, and we love him dearly. And Little Mo has dealt with a number of health complications. And Little Mo, because he is such a local celebrity in Baltimore, calling the sports radio station there, 105.7 The Fan, those around the Ravens and the Orioles have heard him. The Fan, as a radio station, has embraced him. They set him up at Orioles Fan Fest, and he actually read one of the Ravens' draft picks this spring in Braille, the first ever draft pick read as an announcement in Braille. So Little Mo is just absolutely amazing. And every time he called up, he added a smile to my face, and he was and still is one of my heroes.
What's up, D.A.?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Can I get a beam up?
You know it.
Really don't want to say this on the air. I think I might be in Chubbo Nation.
10 years old and you're already in Chubbo Nation.
I think so. I'm not kidding, D.A. I'm not kidding. Am I allowed to go old school on you? Totally crazy. I'm never disrespecting it. Whoa, there, Mraz.
Little Mo in Baltimore is just the absolute best. And this morning, actually last night, after the All-Star game, the Orioles posted a placard. I'm sure you saw it last night during the game, the Stand Up to Cancer, and standing up for somebody in your family or someone that you know who has battled cancer or is battling cancer like Little Mo is. And that was John Means of the Orioles, who was holding up a placard that said, I stand up for Mo. The Orioles, All-Star, holding up a placard for Little Mo. So the Orioles tweeted that out last night, and then this morning the Baltimore Ravens retweeted it, which is just phenomenal. So you've got the city of Baltimore, Orioles, and Ravens coming together supporting Little Mo. And we love him. We can't wait till he's better. We know he's going to get over this one just like he keeps battling every single day of his life and has before. And he's the best. He is the absolute best. And I've just always felt like he was an angel sent to us. And I love the fact that the Orioles and the Ravens are supporting him as well like they did last night. So we know that NCAA college football is corrupt. We know that the NCAA college basketball is corrupt. But did you know that apparently NCAA fencing is also corrupt?
Oh, okay.
Yesterday, Harvard fired its longtime fencing coach because of corruption. Now, let me give you the background on Peter Brand, longtime Harvard fencing coach. He coached at Brown and MIT before becoming Harvard's men's and women's fencing coach 20 years ago, 1999. This is a very important position. Historically speaking, He's only the team's fourth fencing coach since 1931. So this is kind of like the Steelers' head coaching job. It doesn't come around often, okay? Four fencing coaches since 1931. You had Chuck Knoll for a long time there. Then, of course, you had Coach Cower for a long time, Tomlin, and now Peter Brand. The Harvard fencing program goes back to 1889, and Brand led Harvard to its first ever team championship and has delivered 12 Ivy League titles, 4 women's titles, 8 men's titles. I mean, this guy, he is the John Wooden of fencing.
Yeah.
Championships, Ivy League titles, been there for 20 years. This guy is amazing. He's a legend, and he just got the zig yesterday. So what would cause Harvard to fire its decorated long-term, long-time fencing coach? Well, let me tell you. You've heard of this pay-for-play scandal where celebrities, Hollywood elite, wealthy people are basically lying to get their kids into college, lying to get their kids onto collegiate sports teams. This is where Aunt Becky got all jammed up from Full House, where you've got these people with a lot of money bribing essentially these administrations and coaches to allow their kids on the team or get into the school that perhaps they wouldn't get into anyway. Well, let me tell you a story about Zhi Jack Zhao. Now, Zhi Jack Zhao, we'll just call him Jack Zhao, is the co-founder of an international telecom firm. This guy is really rich. And he's really clubby in the world of fencing. He has lavished donations of up to $1 million to the fencing foundation led by his son's coach in high school. Okay, so this guy's already donated $1 million for high school fencing.
Aren't there better causes?
Oh, I would say so, yes.
And
so Zhi Zhao, a.k.a. Jack Zhao, has a son. And his son's a pretty good fencer. And his son wants to go to Harvard. Now, his son is a really good fencer. His son had straight A's in high school. His son had nearly a perfect SAT score. Nearly perfect. And was a legacy kid. His older brother was a fencer at Harvard, and his mother had multiple Harvard graduate degrees. But Jack Zhao wouldn't stand for any possibility that his son wouldn't get into Harvard to fence. And so it just so happened that Harvard's head coach, Peter Brand, the John Wooden, if you will, of fencing, had a house. Modest, 3-bedroom colonial in Needham, Massachusetts. Not far outside of Boston. And that property was assessed at $550,000, okay? About $550,000. And Jack Zhao says, Coach, I want to buy your house. Oh, really? I'm not even looking to sell it, but okay. I want to buy your house. How much is it assessed for? And Coach says, well, about $550,000. And Jack Zhao, Zhi Jack Zhao, says, I'll one up you. I'll buy your house for $989,000. On a house that's priced at $550,000 on the open market, essentially, $550,000, assessed at $550,000, Jack Zhao says, I'm going to buy it for $990,000. Well, that's a healthy profit margin for Coach. Really healthy. Jack Zhao buys the house for $990,000. Never lives in it, holds it for a year, and then sells it for $660,000. Now, it's a decent investment. had you purchased it at the assessed price of $550, but he sold it at $660, and so he lost $330,000 on buying this house.
What?
He held it for 17 months, never lived in it, lost a cool $330,000 on the investment. And the investigator that was leading the Aunt Becky charge, the Aunt Becky case, found this and said, no. Now, you're going to love what Jack Shao said about why he did this. When asked about why you spent $990,000 on, it just so happened, the house of the coach of the fencing team you want your son to play for, he said, I just wanted to help Peter Brand because I felt so sorry for him that he had to travel so much to go to fencing practice. In other words, the commute was so tough that he bought the house at nearly twice the value. Needham is a 12-mile commute to Cambridge. So, Jack Chow is saying, I felt so bad for Coach. His commute was like 15 minutes. And you know, traffic on Star Road Drive could be really tough in the morning. And for him to get to fencing practice, it didn't seem right for him to have to go 12 full miles. So, I just had to do a solid by him. It was just a favor. It had nothing to do with my son playing for him. School officials obviously realized this was Fugazi, and they fired the coach. So, here's my question. How little are fencing coaches making when the John Wooden of fencing needs to sell his house, obviously, to make a cool, what, $400,000 on it? He could have sold it for $660,000, essentially, is what this says. He sold it for $990,000. He made $300,000 or so on this. I mean, if he's making $100,000 a year, it's only 3 years. Is he going to sacrifice his entire career? He is the John Wooden of fencing, and he did it for $300,000? I mean, what are they paying him in? Harvard meal bucks? It's $300,000. I mean, look, for the regular average everyday Joe, that's a lot of money. But this guy has the elite job. I mean, could you imagine John Calipari taking bribes for $300,000? Of course not. You'd be like, that's 2 months of his salary. Again, I realize the fencing coach, the John Wooden of fencing, is not making John Calipari $7 million a year.
Yeah, are we sure it's not a volunteer job?
I mean, maybe it is. And this is the Reggie Bush of fencing. His parents got a condo, just in this case. The coach had his house bought for $400,000 over market value.
I just think the most ironic part of this is, what was the one competition I was allowing Huge Freeze to face me in?
Fencing.
Is there any doubt within the last 6 months since this came to be who Huge Freeze must have called to help him learn fencing?
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Is there any doubt that Huge Freeze reached out to the John Wooden of fencing, Peter Brand at Harvard, and probably helped take him down? Is there any doubt that Huge Freeze has aligned himself with Jack Chow?
Yeah, there's no doubt he's with Jack Chow. And also, I would say any investigation that involves fraud work, they probably have Robbie or Huge's Gmail account flagged. So the moment he reached out to this coach, they said, something's not right with this coach. Let's dig into him a little bit. And now this poor guy, you know, we're finding out that he was in bed with Jack Chow.
So you think that Robbie actually helped bring down?
I think if Huge Freeze wins his college football picks that is never banned from the show, he never reaches out to this coach. And I don't think this coach is ever found with other problems. I think he's been flagged.
So this essentially is the butterfly effect of the DA show. Huge Freeze banned, another corruption case here on the DA show. Huge Freeze banned, has to get back into good graces by winning the college football picks, loses horrendously. Mraz says the only way he's getting back on is if he beats me in fencing. Huge Freeze obviously reaches out to the John Wooden of fencing for some fencing tips.
Of course.
It gets flagged, and thus All of this is uncovered. Huge scandal in the fencing world, and this guy, John Wooden of fencing, is out.
Yes, I'm telling you, it all started. There are people watching Hugh Freeze's every move, and the moment he talks to anybody out of the blue, they are going to dig into that person's history and background and uncover some things.
And if
Hugh did this.
If one of these dudes ends up dead in a body of water in the next 36 hours, I'm off the show. It's too impactful.
It's the Reggie Bush ripping off the Heisman Trophy out of corruption scandal of fencing. When we come back,
correct.
Sam Monson joins us from Pro Football Focus as he helps us look ahead to NFL training camps.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Like that, big boy.
It just dawned on me. Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Is that how the elephant got there?
Yeah, they named Jacksonville after Michael Jackson.
I never freaking knew that.
How can you not know that?
That's awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Awesome.
What you think about that, DA?
43 minutes past the hour. I think it's sad. Thanks for being with us, DA, here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, we appreciate you being part of this family fun festivity. 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. And simulcast at WatchDA.com every single day. Again, that's WatchDA.com. It feels like it's the middle of the summer. It feels like we just passed 4th of July because we did. But it means that training camps are just around the corner. And with training camps just around the corner, it is time to look at the NFL. And a reminder that the Hall of Fame game isn't very far away. And your fantasy draft isn't far away either. And Pro Football Focus's 2019 Fantasy Playbook is now live. You can get yours with a Pro Football Focus Edge or Elite subscription today. And lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus, Sam Monson, joins us this morning on the show. Sam, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Doing great, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to start at the quarterback position because you tweeted something yesterday that got a lot of people all hot and bothered. And that was that Aaron Rodgers had 35 quote-unquote big-time throws by your grading scale and just one turnover-worthy play. Tom Brady was 24-10. A lot of people said that you were crushing Tom Brady, and your point was not to do so. Why did people get so hot and bothered about this?
Yeah, I mean, the Tom Brady thing was just to throw a little bit of context to that Aaron Rodgers number. I think I've got a little bit of a history of writing off Tom Brady, so I think that probably sparked a few people's memories. But really, you know, Tom Brady's was a normal number. His ratio, I think, was something like 24 big-time throws to 10 turnover-worthy plays on those deeper passes. And so it really wasn't to put him down. That's a fine ratio. It's decent. The point was just to put into context how crazy those Aaron Rodgers numbers were. And obviously, you know, there's more to it than just that one number. Aaron Rodgers takes a lot of sacks. Aaron Rodgers throws the ball away more than almost any other quarterback. Last year was more than any other quarterback. But it does create this incredible ratio of these big-time throws. Those are PFF's highest-graded throws in our system. And when the scale we were looking at was on all pass attempts that were 15 or more yards in the air from the line of scrimmage. So, you know, when he's looking deeper down the field, he's making an incredible amount of big throws. That 35 number was one of the top figures in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes led the league with 46, I think. But Patrick Mahomes threw 10 turnover-worthy plays to make those, whereas Rodgers just doesn't put the ball in harm's way on those plays. And it's quite incredible to see it sort of put into abstract numbers like that. We all sort of know that intuitively, that Rodgers is very careful with the ball, but that really just shows exactly how much.
Rodgers 35-1, Brady 24-10. So these big-time throws are throws aimed 15 yards or more downfield. What's the definition of a turnover-worthy play?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at all passes that were thrown 15 yards or more from the line of scrimmage. And the big-time throws are just the highest-graded play or highest-graded throws on those plays. Our turnover-worthy plays, they're the lowest-graded ones. They're the ones that really should be picked off, whether or not they are. And that's, you know, really the key to PFF's grading system is that we're not looking at the results in of the play. We're looking at what the quarterback actually did with the ball. So if he makes a bad read, he forces the ball into double coverage in the end zone, and a safety just drops it, we're giving that the same downgrade as if it was an interception because it should have been. You know, it's the exact same throw, whether that defensive back picks it off or not. So we're giving the quarterback the same downgrade. So most of the time, a quarterback will have more turnover-worthy plays than he has interceptions because of the fact that defenders will drop the ball and they don't always come up with every bad throw as an interception. So for him to only have one of those on those passes is pretty incredible.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus's lead NFL analyst, joining us here on the show. Tom Brady is a Super Bowl champion today. Aaron Rodgers didn't make the playoffs. As you just noted, their numbers skew to show that Brady was somewhat average and Aaron Rodgers was extraterrestrial. So what happened there?
Well, that's just on that specific subset of the grades. If you actually look at every single play overall, Tom Brady had a slightly higher grade last season than Aaron Rodgers. So it's, you know, it's all about how you slice the numbers and how you look at their play overall. This is just a specific area. When you look deep down the field, Aaron Rodgers was significantly more careful with the ball and also made more big-time throws than Tom Brady. But Brady was significantly more more accurate, more efficient underneath, which is where we all know Tom Brady makes his money. You know, on those underneath plays to Julian Edelman, to the running backs out of the backfield, Brady was phenomenal there, and it pulled up his grade to jump Rodgers. Even though Brady overall last year was down from where he'd been the previous couple of seasons. You know, the previous year or two, Tom Brady had been setting a pace that I don't know that we've seen before at PFF. So he did come down a little bit last year, but was still pretty incredible overall.
You had noted on Twitter as well that Aaron Donald should be the overwhelming favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year because he's just that dominant. How much better is Aaron Donald when you look at the numbers than any other defensive player?
Aaron Donald, yeah, is incredible. He is the best player in the NFL, period. And I don't think it's particularly close to the next best guy. When you slice all of our numbers, if you look at total pressures, if you look at pressure rate, if you look at win rate as a pass rusher, if you look at, you know, average depth of tackle, almost anything you look at, Aaron Donald is off on his own in an outlier from the rest of the NFL. In the same way that J.J. Watt was when Watt was at his peak before he got struck with all those injuries, it's incredible that Donald is just that far ahead of anybody else. We've only seen two players notch over 100 total pressures since PFF has been grading. Donald just became the second one this season. You know, Fletcher Cox had a phenomenal year as an interior pass rusher. He was head and shoulders above any other interior player on the D-line, and almost nobody noticed because Donald was just that much better, again, than Fletcher Cox. So, you know, I think you can list a bunch of other candidates that could conceivably have Defensive Player of the Year kind of seasons, but the idea that any of them is more likely to do it than Aaron Donald is, again, to me, is just absurd.
Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst Sam Monson joins us this morning on the DA show to look ahead to NFL training camps. We were discussing Jadeveon Clowney last hour and how the Texans are going to forego extending him and just play him on this franchise deal. He's made the Pro Bowl the last three seasons, but I think most people would define him as not living up to expectations. How does Clowney grade out with your metrics?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair interpretation that he hasn't quite lived up to the expectations, chiefly because the expectations on him coming out were so crazy. You know, he was this number one overall pick, caliber player. He was this generational talent. He was supposed to redefine the position, and he hasn't really done that. He is an excellent run defender. I think that's his strength, is literally his strength. He's able to dominate tackles on the edge. use his quickness to come inside and just blow up run plays like few other edge defenders. He's improved as a pass rusher, but I don't think he's ever become that true elite edge rushing force like a Khalil Mack or a Von Miller or even a J.J. Watt in Houston. He's kind of steadily around 60 total pressures in a season. You know, he's heading up towards that 10 sack a year. He's a good pass rusher, but he's not a great pass rusher. So, yeah, I think it's fair to see if to let him play out his contract year, see if the Texans can get, you know, an extra percentage out of him in a contract year and have him at least prove that he does have that elite pass rushing potential. And if he doesn't improve this year, if he just has another good, not great season, then I think they have this interesting question about whether it's worth keeping him around or whether they're better off throwing the resources elsewhere.
Pro Football Focus has its 2019 fantasy playbook, and it's now live. You can check it out online. You can get yours with a PFF Edge or Elite subscription today. Check it out at PFF.com. Their 2019 fantasy playbook. Sam, this is great, man. Thanks so much for doing it with us. How about we do this again here soon as we creep up on training camps?
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you got it. Sam Monson, great information there from Pro Football Focus, joining us this morning on the DA show. And I think that's a really interesting number that he brought up about Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, that the number of basically big-time throws, highly graded, versus throws that should have been a turnover or were essentially a really bad throw in a traffic was 35-1 for Aaron Rodgers and 24-10 for Tom Brady. And again, as he said, it's just slicing the numbers one way. But it goes to show you big plays, creating big plays without taking chances. Rodgers is beyond elite. And Favre used to create big plays, but put it into danger zone constantly. Rodgers doesn't. Somehow he creates the big plays and doesn't put it into turnover zone. Tom Brady creates less big plays downfield, but has such an artistry underneath, which is how he moves the chains, extends drives, gets into the end zone, wins championships. When we come back here on the show, last night, Major League Baseball's All-Star Game was a win for the sport, but was it a loss for an all-time legend? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.